When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we're going to talk about things we always do. Even if we don't plan exactly what we're going to talk about, we find things to discuss. That's basically everything we do on Apathetic Enthusiasm. Woo! The podcast where Brandon manually fades out the music. We kick it old school here. Hey, everybody. My name's Travis.
Hey, everybody. My name is Brandon. And I think I manually faded out because I don't think I put a fade into the recording itself. So instead, I'll just kick it out. Just kick it. I'll kick you out of the audio.
Kicking it old school. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to our second episode of the year 2024. So happy that you're here joining us. We can't wait to hear how great of an episode we're going to have. Brandon's wearing a bowling shirt. I'm wearing the same sweats that I've been wearing all day because there was ice outside.
Ice day. It was an ice day. Ice days are nice days, they say.
Except for like all the car accidents and people that had to go to work. You want to follow us on the internet? You know you do. Follow us on X. At Apathusiast, I'm at Jogolmino. He's at Barnyard Cruise. We're on Facebook still. Look at us, old millennials. Facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. Send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. We're on Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. And you can find us on our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. YouTube, if you're wondering what we look like, if you want to see what random collectibles we have in our backgrounds, you can go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm, get video versions of all of our podcasts. And a big shout out to all the patrons. You know who you are.
All of
patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm, supporting all of our podcasts.
All of them.
And getting some bonuses like post shows where we get into the real deep conversations. You can only get those if you're a patron over at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. That's it. That's all I have planned, Brandon.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get it started, everybody. Well, we got a great show for you. As we say every day, every week, we do one of these episodes, one of these shows.
And one of these days, we're going to believe it.
And we will deliver that one of these times. There's a, I don't know. Here's what we're going to talk about.
And the listener that I'm going to talk about knows exactly who he is.
Oh,
that's right. It's you.
We're talking about work people.
We're talking about work people.
I'm gonna talk about work people too when you're done.
Yeah. So we opened up Apathetic Enthusiasm for 2024. It was our first episode of Apathetic Enthusiasm after the end of season 7 of Rick and Morty. And I made a comment saying, if you're that random person that prefers listening to us and doesn't like Rick and Morty, sort of in the way that I would talk about, you know, any generic listener, right? As a podcasting veteran what, 7 years now, eight, yeah, who knows
about that?
So long, we can hardly keep count. I value the fact that I can say something and an individual listener feels like I'm talking directly to them, even if I'm just making a generic statement that may or may not apply to
a variety of listeners. We generally are doing that. Exactly that.
Generally, that's what I'm doing. Anyway, somebody that I work with felt like I was definitely calling them out specifically, which is great. And I really appreciate that they listen to the podcast. What is freaking me out a little bit is the fact that I've only been at work physically with this person maybe like a day and a half out of the last 2 weeks. And all I see is the copious amounts of notes that they have taken in their Apple Notes app that they have taken listening to the podcast that they want to discuss with us later. Or at least discuss with me.
Yeah,
later.
Not discuss with us, because I don't know. No, I don't know who this person is.
Because, yeah, they don't talk to you.
No, they don't. But so, you can reach me at Barnyard Cruise on X.
I now have to be cognizant as we record this episode that there will be a follow-up conversation where I have to answer for everything I say, and I can't just spout off nonsense like I normally do, because somebody is listening and taking notes. So thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you so much.
Nondescript work person.
Nondescript. That means any of you, which
could be anyone,
which includes
from any job I've had in the last 2 decades.
It includes people from my work too. But I will say they probably don't listen to this show. And so I have no qualms with saying you all suck. And if you get raises, it'll be a cold day in hell. And for those who don't work with me anymore, Mike, you know, you're not listening to this either, but I'm not going to be your CIO. I'm not going to do that. But anyway,
not having it.
Yeah, it's weird. Everyone at my job is like, Rick and Morty podcast, right? I don't talk about Apathetic Enthusiasm. I don't know if they've actually found me or this show. So we'll see. We'll see in a couple days if I get a text about
if you get a text like, hey, heard about the other show. it's good. It's good. I appreciate any and both of the Apathetic Enthusiasm listeners that we have.
Somebody today in a meeting was like, oh, you podcast, huh? Like, you got probably like dozens of listeners. I'm like, whoa, you plural dozen. You really honor me, Michelle. You really honor me.
I don't know if somebody saying that thinks that's a compliment or just a straight up slap in the face.
No, she was slapping me in the face. That's what that meant to
Way
me.
To go. Way to go, work person. Statistically accurate, but thanks.
So you didn't go to work today, because you had an ice day.
We had an ice in Oklahoma. We had a very rare weather event where it was not cold enough to snow, but it was cold enough for it to rain and then immediately freeze on the ground, creating a thin layer of ice on every surface.
Everything, yeah.
Making it extremely hazardous to drive for the first half of the day, which was sufficient for my place of business to be like, nope, don't come in. So I didn't. And then I just had my work computer open all day, waiting for emails that didn't come because everybody else was at home with an ice day too.
Yeah. Those ice storms are cool to me. When individual blades of grass just have that thin layer of ice on them. That's always super cool to me. This is
very minor compared to some of those like ice storms I've had in the past in Oklahoma, where there's like an inch thick of like ice on every surface. Mm-hmm. Those are horrible. Those are like tearing down power lines and completely shutting the city down.
For sure.
This was a minor inconvenience. Like I say that, but there's like tons of wrecks and people like in the hospital from trying to go out and travel. But
it's a minor inconvenience for you. but because you were able to stay at home, you got to do some stuff, you know, to get some practice in for your Lorcana, right?
Is this the Lorcana update? Is this going to become a regular segment on the show?
I hope not, but I do want to talk about it right now because not only did you have an ice day and you probably did some Lorcana but you also have a story from this weekend that I want you to talk more about.
I do. I feel like 2 weeks ago, because we did take last week off, mm-hmm. there were there were two things that I said I was going to attempt with Lorcana. The two things that I wanted to try. I don't recall what one of them was, but I know that the other one was attempting to go to some sort of game store in my area and play Lorcana with other people that I never met in a social situation, which just checks all the boxes for me in terms of things I get really excited about doing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So the idea I brought up to my son, he was really excited about the idea. So on Friday, I looked it up, and there's a game store that he hadn't been to that he really wanted to check out. It's a little far from our house. It's about 40 minutes away.
Oh, that's far. That's far. But
they had a Friday night game, right? Which I was like, all right, Friday night, that works. Cool. It starts at 8 o'clock, according to their Facebook page. We'll hop in the car at like 6:30. We'll get down there early. Time to like look around, shop a little bit, and then we'll be in place to play Disney Lorcana, the trading card game, taking the world by storm.
Ice storm.
Ice by ice storm. So we end up leaving a little bit later than that, but we get to the game store at like 7:15, 7:10-ish. And we're kicking around. We're looking at stuff. Their game room, like with the tables, are in the back. And I see some people back there. I hear an announcement about like a Magic tournament that's going on as well. So I'm like, okay, some people probably play Magic back there. 8 o'clock, they'll start Lorcana, no problem. We look around. We look at their single cards. We're doing different things. And then I bring up, hey, so 8 o'clock, the Lorcana, like, do we sign up for that? Like, how does that work? And he said, oh, it started at 7. And at this point, it was like 7:30, and we were late. Yeah. And so I don't know if I could have just at that point been like, cool, can we just go sit down? Or he's like, well, you're supposed to sign up. And so it felt wrong. Something about the energy in that place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Felt wrong.
It's right? like when I was in basic training and I went to a Wiccan mass on Saturday to get out of the dormitories. And somebody in that Wiccan mass who was leading it, they're like, okay, let's close our eyes. Let's kind of just, you know, just feel the energy of the room. And like, does anybody want to talk about anything? And one girl on the opposite side of the room was like, yeah, you know, like, I don't know what it is, but I'm like getting like a weird energy from that side of the room. That side of the room being me.
Specifically you.
Yeah, the only person on that side of the room. So, you know, it's probably a lot like that, Travis. You just felt an energy. You felt a Wiccan energy over at Lorcon.
Yeah, well, it was a weird energy. And I did a lap. I walked back into the game area, and there were still people playing Magic the Gathering. And then I looked at the people that were actually playing Lorcana. And I want to say the median age was like 12, because three people back there were probably 8 or 9. And then there were a couple 20 or 30 year olds. So I don't know, young people, but you know what? We missed it. We're here late. We'll have to try again next week. Son's a little disappointed. It's okay. There's another game store kind of nearby, 10 minutes away, on the way home. If you want, we can swing by there just to check out another spot. So we go Friday night. It's hopping. They have a huge playing room with like lots of tables. There's people playing Dungeons and Dragons. There's Magic. There's I see a war table or a Warhammer table. Uh-huh. Like there's tons of things going on. They have a giant other side with tons of board games. So I'm nerding out with like all the actual board games. They have, you know, a huge tabletop section, like just lots of cool stuff. Yeah. This is a great story.
There's like a ball pit.
None of that.
There's a barbershop pole going into a pool of KY jelly.
American Gladiators back in the back.
Nitro is just like he's running the counter.
No, he was painting miniatures. It was really bizarre. Anyway. Just all the only three paint colors he had were red, white, and blue. It was really bizarre.
He's got the joust like Q-tip things that he's printing, that he's painting the miniature.
Yeah, yeah. There were miniatures of American Gladiators in different poses. One of them was trying to throw little red balls into like a trash can. It was amazing. Anyway, so we walk around to the other side where their card counter is. And we asked to look at their singles. They're like loose individual cards that they sell for like 25 cents, 50 cents. And as we're looking at that, I talked to the lady behind the counter. Hey, do you guys have any like structured Lorcana games at this store? And she's like, yeah, actually, I'm the one that runs it. It's between 2 to 6 every Saturday. It's an actual Lorcana league, which I had heard about, but wasn't super familiar with, but it's an actual structured, sanctioned league system that Ravensburger, which is the actual game developer, they build that, and then stores can sign up for it. They send prizes, they send promotional cards that you can get by playing. And essentially how it works is you show up at these designated times, and then you get points, right? You get points for you get a point for showing up, you get a point, 2 points for winning a game, a point for losing a game. They have theme decks every week. So if you build a deck around a theme, you get bonus points for that. And then over the course of like 12 weeks is like a season, but every 4 weeks they tally up everybody's points, and then you get little prizes and things like that. And so,
yeah. All right, cool. That's
son was
cool.
Really excited about that. He's like, can we come back tomorrow? Let's try that out. I was like, all right, yeah, let's yeah. come back.
Duh, and so, twist my arm, son.
If we have to. I'm not gonna lie. I was legit kind of nervous, like going into that environment and not understanding the culture. I've played board games my entire life, but the whole trading card game etiquette expectation. Do you show up? Do you draw a number? Who am I playing against? I didn't know how any of it was going to work.
Yeah.
But we show up. We're there a few minutes early. We just sit down at the table that we think they're going to be at. And then people just start showing up. And I end up sitting across from the lady that organized the whole thing that I had talked to the night before. And that just ended up being the person that I played for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, somebody else sitting by us. We ended up playing like a 3-player game, which I had never done before because I had only ever played with my son before, right? But he's sitting by me. He's playing against somebody else. He's having a great time. He's kind of just doing his thing, like playing his games while I'm playing mine. And I'm cognizant of him, but he's just like loving it.
That's great.
For him, this like lit a fire. He is all in. If he was excited about it before, it's 2 to 3 times as much now. He's already rebuilt decks. He's built a theme deck for next week's theme. He's talking all about it. So yeah, we played a bunch of games today, testing out our new decks that we built. And yeah, it's fun. I don't know. It's super nerdy. It's weird. It's not something I've ever really been into before. But it's a lot of fun, and yeah. It's something that both me and my son are interested in. So that just makes it even better.
That's great. That's really, really good for your kid too. Like to have something, to have a passion, to like find that passion and be like, yeah, oh, this is a hobby I really, really enjoy. And then to be able to share that with them is so cool. I was going to say, about how you did. I was going to ask how you did in the games that you played. Yeah.
League.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So as I said, the person that sat across from me and just was like, all right, I you're my opponent, was the person that's like the league organizer. The person that worked at the game store.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, oh man.
So she destroyed you. She destroyed you.
She's got all these. She's got backpacks of cards. She's got multiple decks in different boxes. I'm like showing up with my 3D printed deck box that I made myself. That I was just like, oh, I didn't have one. I needed to make one. And then I beat her like three games straight. And I was like, and she, like that's through multiple decks and swap. Like I basically had a lightly modified starter deck that I just swapped out a few cards on, and I was running the table. It was weird. It was weird. but it was fun. And I was, I don't know. I need to loosen up a little bit more, I think, because I'm not totally myself in that environment yet, but
we'll see
what happens.
If you keep doing it, you'll start seeing the regulars. You'll start seeing people you saw before, and then, you know, new opponents, new conversations.
Yeah.
You'll pick it up quick. But yeah, it's always that first time in a new environment that is, it used to be me in like class environments or like professional development class, like random places where like the first couple days is like the most awkward, uncomfortable time in my life. I'm like, I can't be myself yet. I don't know what jokes I can say, what kind of humor people have in there. Right. I'm not myself yet. And then I'm like, okay, cool. That person reacts to this type of thing. Okay. And then you start building those relationships. So, but yeah, the first step is the hardest. And so I'm proud of you for doing that because, you know, it's not your comfort area to do.
Yeah.
So good on you. Good on you.
But I brought my kid to it and he's obsessed. So I'm stuck either way. We're going to keep going. it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I hope I don't have to take out a second mortgage to pay for cards. I'm really trying to be as fiscally responsible as I can in this. But man, you watch the YouTube videos, you're looking at the decks, and you're like, man, if I just had a couple of those cards, that would really you know. That's the other thing I did, I think, between now and the last time we talked, is I ordered cards online. I don't think I had done that when we recorded last time, but I went to a website and I ordered a bunch of individual cards online, which for the value, right? A lot of these cards were like a penny, 5 cents, 10 cents online, and then you pay like $1 shipping. So I didn't fully understand how the website was working at first. And I ordered a bunch of cards from like 8 different websites through the one website. And so then I consolidated that down a little bit, but I've been getting random pieces of mail every couple of days with like anywhere from 2 to 8 trading cards in them as I try to round out my collection.
Travis, you have another card. Stop it. No, it's for the kid.
No, I don't give him that stuff. No, go order your own.
We talk about being a couple things. First is like the kids being into things and like seeing them be passionate about things and enjoy things like on their own for the first time. So my 12-year-old is starting his second semester of sixth grade. And in this second semester, he's taking a coding class, and like he really enjoys coding to where like I like coding too. I don't code, but like I enjoy the concept of it, and I like the logic aspect of it, the language aspect of it. So I was having him show me what he was doing in class, and he said went to the website. He's showing me different codes and like making a turtle go left and right and create a line and creating loops and all this type of stuff. And he's like, I like this so much that like I'm doing it again. And I already did homework, but I like erased everything to start it again. I enjoy it. He's enjoying it, and that's so cool to me that it's not an iPad thing. He's not playing Roblox or watching YouTube. I'm just coding for fun. Like, oh yeah, get paid, kid. You know,
I mean, strike while the iron's hot. You keep this up for another, 8 to 10 years, kid, You're all set.
You're gonna get paid so much money. So that's the first thing. The second thing, we're talking about fiscal responsibility. Also about my son. So we, for Christmas, he got a Dig Dug arcade machine. So cool. And then, you know, his birthday, we got him some more stuff. You know, got a lot of Christmas and his birthday. They're all right around each other. So now we were playing Baldur's Gate 3, you know, spending time together. My dog's barking in the background. And then he's like, hey, I want to get this game called Skylanders Trap Team. It's from like 2015, 2017 or something like that for the Xbox One. Like, okay, what is it? And like, oh, well, it's a little thing. You have to buy figurines and then you play the game.
Like, you told me that. Do they still sell those like in stores or do you have to buy them off like eBay or Craigslist or something?
They sell them on Amazon. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Because we went through a Skylanders phase in this house. Yeah. And yeah. I know what you're preparing for. Yeah.
So we're like, he's like, can I get it? And it's like $230. I'm like, Christmas just happened. Your birthday just happened. You know, and so he's talking about like doing chores and stuff like that. And he's like, I'll give you the money out of my bank, you know, his little bank in his room, which has a bunch of money from all the birthdays that he's had and Christmas. And I'm like, I'm not going to take that money. And so I had this idea where I'm like, okay, he wants this thing that costs a lot of money for him that he doesn't need, but he wants it. And I'm like, this is a good chance to teach a little bit of fiscal responsibility. So I told Chelsea, we'll get it for him, but I'm going to write up a contract for him. And so I wrote up this really, really stupid contract. It was like Skylanders Trap Team. And then I put the stipulations in there, $20 a week, assuming he does his, picks up the dog poop, you know, makes it, cleans his room, does his homework every day. Right. And then, If that's the case, after so many weeks, he'll pay off Skylanders Trap Team and any additional figurines that he wants to get. So did that. I put it in front of him like, okay, here's the deal. Go ahead and read it over. He read it out loud. And then I was like,
did he consult his lawyer or anything before signing a binding legal contract?
Yeah, he asked me in Chelsea. He's under 18. Wait, so yeah.
That feels like a conflict of interest. Legal's never going to sign off on this.
He's under 18. He's got to listen to his parent and guardian. So I'm like, all right, are you good with this? Are you good with this? Every week you do chores. And he's like, and you could sense the hesitation when you have to put your name on something that you're committing to. Paying a lot of money over time. So he did it, and then Chelsea and I signed it too. And then, you know, we're asking him after the fact, like, how are you feeling? And like, he was a little teary eyed a little bit. Right. I'm like, yeah, what's going on, man? You know, he's like, well, I like, what if I don't like the game? And I, you know, I bought it and then I don't like it. And then I still owe the money, you know, thoughts like that. And like, you know, this is a, I have to
we
pay.
We call that buyer's remorse. Son.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it occurred to me that I never had those feelings as a kid when I was learning about money. I didn't learn those feelings until I was already 18, 19 out of the house doing my own thing. Like, oh man, I really shouldn't have bought that. Or do I really want
you have
that?
Buyer's remorse because you got way too high of an interest rate on the first car you purchased after your first regular paycheck.
That's true. That's true too. But you know, like I kind of wish that I had that experience to like and put that feeling into my head early on to be like,
yeah,
is this something I really want to do? And then so we told him like, you buy a car, then you're saying you're going to pay the money and buy that car over however many years. And that's 20, 50,000, right? Done.
Yeah.
This house we live in, right? We said 30 years, we'll pay this much amount of money for this house. And we have to, or we get kicked out. They take it away from us. That,
yep.
You know, this is $230 for you. We're not going to let anything happen to you. This is here to help you learn, teach you a lesson. Those feelings that you have are natural, and it's good that you're having the feelings now instead of when you buy a bunch of furniture on credit.
Yeah. Yeah. That star card, tell you what. I really love that you printed up, you built your own little contract, your own business contract for this negotiation. I just really hope for your sake, you don't have to hop on Canva or Adobe Express or whatever tool you used and build like a Repo Man Skylanders template where you have, there's, you know, the dog poops piling up in the backyard, and all of a sudden that tow truck is backing up to the Xbox, and it's just like, hey, you don't pay your bills. we gotta take these accessories.
what we told them was, you know, if it gets down to that, we didn't put the stipulations of what happens if he doesn't fulfill the deal in the contract. We're like, mm-hmm. we'll deal with that when it comes. But it'll probably be just, you didn't do it, we'll take the money out of your bank in your room. You know, like that's when we'll start taking the money, because that's what the fucking debtors do. They take your money when you don't give it to them.
All right, this week's lesson, son, is about hidden bank fees. Now, so, it's good. You're doing a great job. You're teaching him valuable lessons. I had to sit down.
We did give him a variable APR of 22%.
Oh, it's not like a 30-year fixed. Like, it's gonna adjust with inflation. Mm-mm. Is that you slick little?
He signed it.
No,
he signed it. and
it's all there, black and white, clear as crystal.
Yeah, it's the same thing I want to do for his student loans.
Fantastic. That's great. Yeah, my son is probably the most responsible around the house when it comes to like chores and those sorts of things. So he tends to make a lot of money, like allowance wise, from us, because he does things. He is contributing to the household, uh-huh, more so than his siblings. And so that's one area where he'll be like, hey, Dad, if you're stopping by the store, you could check and see if there's any Lorcana cards there. You could give me a booster pack. You could give me a card box. You could give me, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And on the one hand, I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's $5-6. No big deal. I'll pick this up. But then on the other hand, it's like, okay, I could buy that. You going to send me the money? You going to hand me some dollars? It's the only reason I ever have cash in my life is when my children are paying me back for something that they want to purchase. But yeah. So, and then there's a whole new series of Lorcana cards coming out in February. So, yeah, he's lucky his birthday is coming up.
Yeah, that's right.
He's going to be invested.
You know, one of the other things, so Chelsea and I were talking about it too. And so her parents, when she was like 18, they didn't think she was going to graduate college, which she has not, but she's in college. So she's starting again, but her parents put in their will that if Chelsea doesn't graduate college, that she gets nothing from inheritance. But she didn't know about that for a while, right? She found out about that after the fact, a couple years later. And she was kind of like, I think I would have felt differently about that if I was brought into that early on and said, hey, here's the deal, make it through college. And then, you know, like you get an inheritance, and if you don't, then you don't, right? She would have been cool with that instead of finding out after the fact. And she was like, I mean, I probably wouldn't have signed shit, because I would have been like, fuck you. You know, I'm not doing it. Oh, I'm not. That's kind of jacked up. You're giving me this. But then, you grow up, then you're 41 and you're like, you know what? Nah, that's, I understand what they were doing. I understand why
I see what you're getting at here. Okay. Pick it up.
Parents.
Yeah.
Anyways, speaking of parents, I spent last Saturday, because it was 2 weeks ago, it was the last time we recorded. Saturday, I had went over to my parents' house, and they're not too far away from me, but my brother's birthday is this month. His wife's birthday is this month. My son's birthday and my mom's birthday is this month.
So many birthdays.
And so what we did was we went over to my parents' house to have like a birthday get together. So dinner, and we watched like old home movies. We watched Chelsea and my wedding video, which,
ooh, a classic.
And so that was cool, seeing a bunch of old friends. But at some point in time, the kid, who's only 12, he's got bored of watching old movies, right? And like,
fair.
These aren't his people. Like, he's like, he can only enjoy seeing me as a 12-year-old so many times where he's like, okay, I'm done with this. Well, I saw he was getting bored, a little bit upset. I'm like, hey, let's play dominoes. We haven't played dominoes in a long time. And we used to play games at our get-togethers pretty often, and we hadn't done it. Can't tell you the last time we've done it. At least 10 years probably. Let's get the dominoes. So we got the dominoes out. The kid had never played it, so it was a chance to teach him. And so we're playing. My dad, me, him, Chelsea, my brother, and it was fun. And then we went to aggravation, which is like sorry, trouble, like a style game with like you got to go around the board and get your pieces into the home, right? And I bring up the parents thing because Chelsea has accused me of being a poor winner, a poor loser in the past. And I swear I don't feel that way. I've never felt like a poor winner or a poor loser. I've not felt like it.
Nah, I wouldn't know what she's talking about.
Well, I guess maybe poor winner, because I was like, yes, I just wake up and this is what I do. I just win.
I'm just naturally talented.
Okay. All right. That's fair. So I get that from my dad. That's the point of the story it's just like, and he was getting drunk and it was just, especially when we got into aggravation, which is my mom's favorite game, which makes sense, of like going around like, oh, I landed on somebody else's piece. Go back home. And like, just my dad was the first one to beat the game. He's like, yeah, I guess I won. I guess I won. We should play for who's second. You guys should play for who's second. Sure enough, I was second place because, I'm good, but I'm not my dad's good.
Fair.
And then my kid Brett and his wife Chella were still left, and my mom. And my dad is just there, just in his attitude of, we're still going, huh? Yeah, I finished.
Just marinating in that that victory, just the smell of his success wafting through the room.
So I try to be a better sport about things for my kids' sake. Now aggravation, sorry, trouble. There's, that in those games, like in your home, to get out, you have to like roll like a one or a six. Well, in aggravation, sure, if you roll a one, you take a piece out. If you roll a six, you take a piece out, and then you can roll again. Anytime you roll a six, you can roll again. Well, if somebody is like directly outside of your home when you come out, then you take their place and then they go back to their home. Okay. My kid gets to my area. Okay. And land is in my like little home area. Okay. But he has another piece further behind, which is right behind my piece. And he rolls and he has enough to land on my piece. Now, my brother Brett is like, get him, get your dad, get your dad. up until this point in time, I've avoided landing on anybody. I'm like, let's keep it a friendly game, not landing on anybody. Get him, get your dad, get him. I'm like, if you do it, I'm just letting you know, I'm going to get you back.
You move that piece. You can't unmove it, son.
I'm going to get you back. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just letting you know. I'm going to
get you back. Bends the rules. That's life.
That's life. So sure enough, he does it. He lands on me and he sends me back home. Very next roll, one, I send him back home. He's like, come on, Uncle Brad, come on. I'm like, karma. That's karma, man. That's karma. Okay. So that happens. He's like, Uncle Brad, you punk. A little bit later, he has a piece not in my home, two spaces away from my home. So if I come out, it won't land on him. I have a same story, another further behind. There's a piece. He's behind it. He rolls enough to land on that piece. And Brett's like, get him. Go get your dad. He's like, no, you did this to me last time. Like, get your dad. Go on, get him. And the kid looks at me like for approval. Like, is this okay? I'm like, it's okay. Like, you're making your choice. I'm trying to not do these things to you. But if you want to do them, then go ahead. Like, I'm not going to be mad at you. I promise I'm not going to be mad at you. He chooses war. So he moves, lands on my piece, sends it back home. My turn. I roll a six. My piece comes out. I roll again. I roll a two. I land on his piece. He goes back to home.
Just immediate karma. Immediate
karma. And he was so pissed off at that game at that point in time. I was trying. Anyways. You know, I don't know if I was a good sport in that. I was trying to be fair about it. Yeah.
It's one of those things where, and I mean, we talked about it before, but you want your kids to enjoy some of the things you enjoy, right? Like, I want my kids to play board games with me because I love playing board games. And they live in my house, right? They're accessible people that I can play games with. Okay.
Yes, so I like board games and they live in my house, so they have to play by my rules.
They have to play. They have to let me win or they have to sleep outside. So there's a lot of games that my family loves playing. They tend to gravitate more towards what I would categorize as party games.
Mm-hmm.
Your apples to apples, 12. Cards Against Humanity, Family Edition.
Yeah.
We got a game called Sounds Fishy, which is actually a lot of fun. I enjoy it. I can get them to play Azul occasionally, but busting out Settlers of Catan or anything more involved than that it can be a challenge. Mm-hmm. Sheena will play Wingspan with me. Hurrah, it's wonderful. But again, if I'm always winning, or if I'm always, you know, if we only play the complicated games that dad likes and I'm always winning, Lorcana, another example, if I'm always beating my son, he's gonna get tired, he's not gonna want to play. So that's where it's nice to have that back and forth where he wins a few games, I win a few games. But I'm not going to lie. When I get beat, when the cards aren't in my hand, I'm just like, all right, let's go again. Come on. No, shuffle them. Shuffle your card. No, we have fun. It's a good time.
Do it again. Shuffle them. One more time. Best 3 out of 5.
It's good. And it's funny because, especially now, ever since we went to that league, he wants to play all the time. Much like my lament in our last episode when I was like, I want to keep playing, but he wants to play outside with his friends or whatever. And I was like going online to play. Now the roles are reversed and we'll finish playing 3 games and pack everything up. And within a half hour, he's like, I mean, we could just play some more. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but like, I gotta like make dinner or walk the dog or something.
That's how it got with Baldur's Gate. We don't want to talk about Baldur's Gate long, but that's we put 60 some odd hours into the game together of Baldur's Gate, just sitting there for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And it was like, we'd stop playing. I'm like, hey, Dad, you know what time it is? Baldur's Gate time. Let's go. But now, like, that is starting to wane off a little bit, where, like, you know, the Skylanders, he wants to do something else.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. I'm not done with Baldur's Gate yet. So I'm like, once we finish this, which is pretty soon, I'm going to start again with a new character, and I'm going to go play through it. I'm like, you can join me if you want, but you don't have to. Like, if you're getting bored of this, he's like, no, I want to. I'm like,
yeah,
I mean, you say that, like, but I'm like, do you really? So I'm like, how about we just do this? You can create your character. I'm going to play through it no matter what. And then when you want to join, you can join.
Just drop in.
Because we've experienced the story already. So you know what to expect. And so that's what,
and then you can replay the story a completely different way. And I
didn't tell him that part.
Oh, skip this part of the podcast.
I'm
Brandon's son.
This time I'm not going to play with Shadowheart and Lazelle. I'll choose Gale and one of the other people. Probably the Druid. I'll probably go with the Druid because I want to play as a rogue. Anyway. Enough Baldur's Gate.
Brandon, in a what has become a relatively reoccurring segment, I can't help but notice that while you were super busy last week in what sounds like an awesome yet relatively competitive game night, there were some other relatively competitive things happening at the same time. Sort of like, I don't know, playoff football.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I was like,
you
what are we talking about?
You happened. I watched your team. I watched the whole game, fully expecting you to text me, lament over, you know, the missed opportunities. I now understand why you didn't, because you're having a great time with your family. But yeah, now your team's eliminated from contention. You doing all right? Have you watched a football game since Miami was eliminated?
No, I haven't. So I want to talk. I will talk about that. I knew that we're having this birthday get together on Saturday. I knew it was a playoff game with the Dolphins and the Chiefs, and I knew going into it we had just lost to the Bills the week before, and lost the AFC East championship. Like, great, cool, wonderful. I knew going into Kansas City that our odds of winning were basically very, 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 very low. Like the temperatures that were in Kansas City that day.
Yes.
And I did start watching the game a little bit when it was on, but we got into home movies. I had the phone on there, and like, I had it because it was on Peacock. I'm like, watching a play. I saw the Tyreek Hill touchdown. I'm like, all right, cool, 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 cool. And then I stopped watching. I turned back, and like, we were behind. And then I thought to myself, my family's talking, they're laughing, they're interacting, like things are going on. And I got my phone here with the football. Like, you know what? This is going to stress me out. I don't want to be stressed out. I should be enjoying the time I have with my family and not worrying about
good. That is a wise choice.
Without worrying about the football game. Like, why? I don't want this to ruin my mood when I should be cherishing the time that I have here. So I didn't watch the game, and sure enough, we lost, and I was fine with it because I was expecting to lose anyway. And the reason I haven't watched a football game since is not because I'm like, oh, Dolphins didn't make it, I don't like football anymore. No, it's because the Bills were still in the playoffs and I didn't want to watch football and then have the Bills make it to the Super Bowl and maybe like, great. Like, I just didn't care. I didn't want the Bills to be there because I don't like Josh Allen. And then they lost yesterday. And now I'm like, cool, I can start watching football again. I said this.
Now that there are three total games left. Mm-hmm. Finally start watching.
I said to one of my Bills friends, I said, hey, congratulations on joining the rest of the AFC East. Now let's enjoy football together.
What a terrible way to lose that game.
Oh, yeah.
On a missed field goal. Like, they could have tied it. At that point, you give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes, but this season, there's no guarantee that he just goes down the field and scores. So, you know, but, you know, that's why they play the game. That's why they kick those field goals. So many people are like, oh, these don't matter until they really matter and they mean your whole season.
Yeah. And I didn't watch the game. I watched some clips towards the end and I'm like, why did Allen keep going for the gimme, like the risky touchdown when he had people underneath that could have caught the ball for shorter yards to put them in better position for a field goal if they needed. Right. And so I'm like, I'm not a Josh Allen fan. He's a good quarterback. I don't deny it, but you know, I think that was unnecessary. But that's kind of the same thing that people complain about Tua with, is like, quit always looking for Tyreek. There's other people that are way open.
Sure.
Okay. That's fair.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Do you have any official predictions for which two teams will move on to the Super Bowl?
I know Detroit is playing the 49ers. So my friendship with John Kaufelt is more important than my want for the Lions to make it to the Super Bowl. So I will root for the 49ers.
And who will they face off with in Las Vegas?
Who are the Ravens playing against?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, damn it.
The ones that just beat the Bills.
Damn it. This is a tough one. But I probably go with the Chiefs because of, sorry.
Cool. Well, this is perfect because I'm going to pick John Caulfield be damned. The Lions, even though 49ers have had a great team, McCaffrey's been insane all season. I just like that underdog like story for the Lions.
Like realistically,
the heck with the Chiefs. So let's go Ravens.
Yeah, realistically, that Detroit, they've never been to the Super Bowl, so there's that part of like, at least let them go, then they can lose eventually. But at least let them go the first time. And I would love them to win a Super Bowl before the Bills ever win a Super Bowl. I'd be happy with that too.
Okay. So I've got Ravens, Lions, and you're going Chiefs,
49ers.
All right. We'll come back next week and see how we did and which one of us, or we'll both like be half wrong probably is what's going to happen. But that's our sports corner. All right.
I want to speak about two things real quick. It's fiscal responsibility and the Dolphins.
Trading cards. Oh, and the Dolphins.
Yeah. So I got these.
Oh.
Hey. So for the audio
those
listener,
are clean. Look at those.
Yeah. I bought.
Did you get those off of what you call it?
Shubi or something?
No, it's what is that? Website.
I don't know. Overstock.
It's on the tag. It's on the tag right there.
Oh, I got it from X. StockX.
Yes. Yeah. That's like the shoe resale website for sneakerheads.
Are you a sneakerhead? I'm not a sneakerhead.
When did this happen?
But I was like, you know what? Those are cool.
Got that contractor money. All kinds of new things.
Those are cool. Those are cool shoes. I'm gonna get those. I'm gonna get those shoes. I haven't worn them. I'm gonna put them back in the box and until we have a winning season. And then, no, just kidding. We had a winning season this year.
Yeah. Those are cool. You can wear those to SoFi at all the the games that you get to go to.
Well, yeah. I mean, we don't play at SoFi next year. We don't play the Chargers. Well, no, I take it back. We do play at SoFi next year. We play against the Rams.
Rams.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. I won't be there for that game. But all right. Let's do a quick round robin on movies.
Okay.
I watched
a round lot of robin.
that's the thing we're doing now. So some quick reviews on movies. One of the movies that I saw, Sheena and I did a date day last week, and she wanted to go see a new romantic comedy that came out. It is called Anyone But You. This was not a movie that I was like really trying to go see. And I didn't really know a lot about it. I knew it was romantic comedy. I knew reviews said that it was like the rebirth of romantic comedies or whatever is gonna, right? And it was funny. It's a funny movie, but the thing I liked about it that I didn't know going into it, it is a modern day retelling of William Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing.
Okay.
And there are subtle hints throughout the movie about that I thought that was one of my favorite parts of the movie. I thought it was great. There were some good jokes as well, but I really liked that aspect of it.
All right. Yeah. Oh no, I was seeing A Midsummer Night's Dream. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Was Leonardo DiCaprio in that one? You know,
no, but they did do a Titanic joke.
Was Claire Danes in it?
No.
Was Harold Perrineau in it?
That's Romeo and Juliet.
Sorry, I was thinking modern retellings. No, that's cool. I won't ever.
10 Things I Hate About You. That was a modern retelling of Taming of the Shrew.
I never saw that movie either. What about? I've also never seen Mean Girls. Are you gonna judge me for that?
Yes, absolutely.
We're trying to make fetch happen, Travis.
Never gonna happen. You haven't seen Mean Girls.
No. Why would I? I'm not a girl or mean.
It's funny. It is very funny. I saw an article recently. Okay, I'm gonna be honest. I saw a headline recently about an article where Lorne Michaels was interviewed about who could take over and replace him as like the showrunner for Saturday Night Live. Uh-huh. And he was talking about Tina Fey and how Tina Fey is incredibly smart and hilarious and can basically do anything, and that she would be great at doing that. Don't know if that means it'll ever happen, but I think it'd be really interesting to see SNL like under Tina Fey's
watch. I mean, he's got to die someday, so you know someone's got to replace
unless
him.
He's made a contract with Satan and at this point we don't know.
Yeah And Walt comes out of the walls. He's like, thank you, Lorne, and it goes back in. So talking about,
all right, so Anyone But You, if you like romantic comedies, if you're looking for a date movie, it's silly and stupid but has some heart. There you go.
As a transition movie, before I talk about the movie I watched, talking about romantic comedies, my parents told me about a movie that they want me to see. It's called Miranda. I don't know if you've heard of this.
Is that the movie with the little girl who learns to read super early and then gets magic powers, and there's like she goes to a boarding school?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, with Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
No, actually, Miranda is about the story behind the Miranda rights and how they came about. And I don't know if you know this, Travis. This is real quick. Miranda is not even a girl or a woman. I always thought Miranda rights had to do with a girl or a woman.
A girl named Miranda?
Yeah. But no, that's the last name of the gentleman who the Miranda rights are named after, because back when the Miranda rights, before the Miranda rights came out, some dude was convicted of raping several people. And then when he went in for questioning, they coerced a confession out of him. They didn't call a lawyer, nothing like that. So he went to court, got convicted, but then went through the appeal process. And then that kind of started this whole thing for the Miranda rights. And so he got off of prison. But then they gave him a retrial, and then one of his girlfriends was like, no, he told me that he raped all these people. So then he went back to prison, and then he died in prison because he got murdered. But that's where the Miranda rights come from. So that's a real quick aside before I get into what I really want to talk about, which is killing Osage in Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah.
You saw this movie. Maybe we talked. Did we talk about it? Maybe briefly.
I think maybe we talked about it in a post show because, well, I feel like it was, you know, it was during like Rick and Morty times. Yeah, yeah. I think when I went and saw it. So I think we were in the season and not talking about other movies and things like that. But I think we might have talked about it on post show. Yeah, I went and saw it while I was visiting Kansas City.
Yeah.
Saw it in like IMAX. Thought it was a gorgeous film. Scorsese did a great job. It was devastating. I don't know. Did you watch it on Apple TV?
I did. Yeah. I watched it on Apple TV. I was waiting for it to come out, and finally it showed up. And I liked it. It was not hard to watch. It's just a long movie, 3.5 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I watched it in multiple sessions. I started watching it before work one morning, got 30 minutes into it. I was like, oh, right. I still have 3 hours. Okay. I'll finish this tonight. And I started it that night, fell asleep, then finished it the next morning.
Yeah.
But it's, you talk about romantic comedies. Well, I mean, this movie is very romantic. A guy keeping his wife poisoned with morphine to quell her diabetes. It's just
so he can steal her oil money.
So he can steal her oil money. But you know, like that's the way it's portrayed anyway. He did love her, but he was also doing the wrong thing. Mostly, because it's like the review or kind of theme of the movie that I saw written was, it just shows what cowardice and being easily swayed and not having principles like gets you into, like regret. The character that Leo played was like, he just let himself be manipulated and pushed by his uncle and everyone around him for what he really wanted, which was to be with his wife. And well, He screwed that up in the very end. Well, plus he murdered a lot of people. So, but anyway, it is a good movie. It mentioned the Tulsa,
the Tulsa, Black Wall Street.
Yeah. It mentioned that a little bit. And so, you know, I was like, oh, that was in Oklahoma too. What the hell is going on in Oklahoma in that time frame? You know?
Yeah. This is a weird state. This is I definitely watched that movie with a different set of eyes, having been required to live in the state for, you know, like 8 years now of my life, due to my occupation.
The last,
it's weird, and it makes me like not too proud of some of the stuff that goes on around here.
Well, on the subject of Oklahoma, Killers of the Flower Moon. It is a good movie. If you don't want to be sad, or hate white people, then don't watch it. But what I want to ask you, Travis, is are you voting for the furry proposition that is in the Oklahoma state legislature?
Unfortunately, I cannot, because though I do live in Oklahoma and own a home in Oklahoma, I am not an Oklahoma state resident. My voting happens far west of here. So I am just at the mercy of the other voters in Oklahoma to let them decide whether or not my children will be affected in their schools by furries of any, you know, form or fashion.
The worst thing about that law is, well, if they're going to be a furry in my school and they don't want to leave, get animal control to take them out.
It's absurd. It's just absurd. There are many reasons why I'm going to leave the state when it is available.
That being the tip top, because I want to furry my ass in Rose State College if I can help it.
Man, if you could see the other side of this closet and all the things that are over there, let me tell you. Couple other quick hits on a movie round robin. Just watched a direct to Hulu movie called Self-Reliance last night. It's written by and starring Jake Johnson, I think is his name. Yeah, Jake Johnson. He starred on New Girl. He's been in some other things.
Okay. Like Lost, Jurassic World, I think he was in there. The control center.
I don't know. Does it have his? Yeah, Jurassic World. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
So yeah, Star Zone was written by Jake Johnson. Has Anna Kendrick, Andy Samberg's in it. It's a Lonely Island movie.
Oh. Okay.
Basic premise on this is a guy, he's kind of in a rut, down on his luck. Andy Samberg pulls up to him in a limo and says, hey, do you want to play this game? It's a game show on the dark web. You're going to be hunted for 30 days and people are going to be trying to murder you. And if you survive, you'll get $1 million. The caveat is if you're in, the hunters can only murder you if you're alone. If you're with someone else, then they can't touch you. And so for 30 days, he has to basically always be around someone. And the movie's really weird and interesting. And there's a little bit of like, is this really happening to him? Or is he like schizophrenic or something? Like, and there's a little bit of that throughout the movie. For me, the ending just kind of felt weird and didn't. I expected some bigger twist or bigger like, haha, this is what it all means. And I just feel like I didn't get that in the movie. So also I was getting a bunch of phone calls about ice storms while I was watching it. So I to be fair, I might have been a little distracted. But yeah, I'm interested if anybody's watched that, what they think about it. It is on Hulu. Okay. So yeah, it's interesting.
I did watch last week a movie on Shudder called When Evil Lurks. And it is a Mexican film where it takes place in like a small village. There's two brothers and
then a meteor hits.
Mexican space armada. And they hear some gunshots go off, and then the next morning they see like just a body in the woods. And then so they're looking at the body in the woods, and they're like, it takes them to like another house in the village. And they go into the house in the village, and then in there there's like a big guy, pussy, all this type of stuff. So what it turns out is in this world that this movie takes place, there are people called the possessed ones. There's been like some kind of event in this world where people have been possessed. There was, and like, it's like it, people just know that possession has been a thing. And there's a couple rules with it. Like you can't kill a possessed one with a shock or with guns, with firearms, because then it instantly releases the evil spirit and it'll possess somebody else. And so there's a couple rules like that. It is a pretty good movie. It's pretty creepy. It has some really, really shocking moments in there that I was like, holy, like it got me. Or I'm like, oh, I didn't think they were going to go there. And then something happens again right after that. Like, oh, shit, they went a little bit further than I thought they were going to go. Like kind of shocking. So it was good. There were some like questionable decision making throughout of it. But overall for a horror movie on Shudder that I wasn't tracking, it was pretty good. So I recommend just checking it out.
Check it out.
Check it out. All right.
Cool. Well, we're over an hour. We're for almost an hour and 10 minutes. See, you know, we open the show. We say, who knows what we're going to talk about. we always get there, folks. We get there.
And I want to say some of the things we said we were going to talk about before we started recording are things that we did not talk about.
That's right. Which means we have content for the post show. If you want to see where the conversation goes from here, make sure to check out our Patreon. Big thanks again to everybody for listening, for liking this, subscribing if you're on YouTube, if you're a subscriber on iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Thank you so much for doing that as well. If you've never rated or reviewed this show, take a second. Let us know what you think. We appreciate it. It really helps Brandon get more high-dollar tennis shoes that he plays like a flute. If you want to see that happen, go to the YouTube. Until next time, my name is Travis.
And my name is Brandon. And thank you so much to one and all for hanging out with us. Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.